Shyamakunda Tathagata Yirgavanathi, Shri Vrindavan Thamaki, Shri Mayapur Thamaki, Gangavaiki, Jambaravaiki, Kaptiveki, Vasudeviki, Samaritavapati, Jai Jai Gaur, all glories to Samaritavapati, all glories to Samaritavapati, all glories to Samaritavapati, all glories to Samaritavapati, all glories to Samaritavapati,
Yeah.
Visasarja, through. Ha, in the past. Translation. The son of the Rishi, his eyes red hot with anger, touched the water of the river Kaushika while speaking to his playmates and discharged the following thunderbolt of words. Purport. The circumstances under which Maharaj Parikshit was cursed were simply childish, as it appears from this verse. Sringi was showing his impudency among his playmates, who were innocent. Any sane man would have prevented him from doing such great harm to all human society. By killing a king like Maharaj Parikshit, just to make a show of acquired dominical power, the inexperienced son of a Brahmana committed a great mistake. So culture, which Sunni was lacking, then dictates how people will interact with each other. This is important because human beings interact with each other. That's what they do. All activities that go on in the world are for this interaction. Nobody is alone. Nobody interacts with the material energy, not for a relationship with others. It may be very narrow, the group, but it is important, right? Nobody tries to become very powerful in the world, take over the world, unless somebody is going to recognize it. What would be the use of being the sovereign lord of the world if no one says anything? Or the most beautiful, or most wealthy, or most influential, or most renounced, or most not, unless somebody says something. right? Either for or against. It can also be against, because then that will create a taste. This is my enemy. I will try to defeat him. He will try to defeat me. I am very qualified. He is also a qualified enemy, right? There's no use unqualified enemies you don't bother with. Qualified enemies, then there's some taste. So some interaction must be there, positive or negative, but must be there. Otherwise, why does anybody work? Does that make some sense? Yeah? So culture then is how to interact with other people. Right? Not just I interact with this person and I get some profit out of them. You know, I go up to him, pat him on the back. Smith, I know you can do a great job and all that, and you've always been very reliable in that. And, you know, I know this time something's happened. There must be some reason, you know, maybe your family, maybe this or that. But hey, you know, you're not working up to your standard and that. You know, what's going on? Right? Okay, great. Some culture is there, definitely. But that was the culture simply to make money. No, the boss didn't care about Smith. He cares about his money. Smith doesn't work, you don't make no money. Right? But it's a valid interaction. Right? Smith, the boss cares about his money. Better he's nice to Smith than not nice. He'll get more money anyway. Right? Because people are looking for a nice interaction. You get it in a balanced way. You work harder. Right? But you must be able to see bigger picture. Bigger than you making money is something more important. It's better for the bigger, for the family. Bigger than that is for the community. Bigger than that for the nation. Bigger than that for the world. Bigger than that for the universe. Bigger than that for God. Right? So this is one of the places it breaks down. Sringi is thinking here, religious principles are being broken. It's very cut and dry. Here, okay, Kshatriya is going insulting Brahman. Raw. Krishna's not here to correct this, so therefore then the Brahmins represent Krishna, so therefore I will correct this. Nice, logical, straightforward, makes sense. But there's more to the picture. Right? God is very great. He can do many, many things at once. So in one action, many things get done. We don't know them, but they get done. Right? Does that make sense? They're just not known. Because we look at just what is here for me now, and that's all. Bigger picture. Okay, this king has made a mistake. Okay, he shouldn't have been angry. He should have behaved himself a little better. But Sringi and his father can sit there peacefully in trance because Pariksit Maharaj is king. Sringi is able to be trained as a brahmachari that he has such power that he can even curse the king only because of the protection of the king. Otherwise, it's not. If the dacoits are there raiding and making trouble and the demons are coming flying in, because this is still Dwapara Yuga, demons are still flying around and passing stool and urine on the sacrifices and stuff. You know, that's what they do. It's their fun, right? You know, kids throw rocks at cars and, you know, this and that. And demons pass stool and urine on sacrifices. It's just what they do, right? So all that's there, but it's not happening because the king is strong. So now by removing the king for this one mistake, which may be considered great, then the whole kingdom, in fact the whole world, loses protection. So then if Sringi is representing God, right, God protects the whole world, so how is Sringi doing that? Does that make sense? So without protection, without, without protection, without the positive interaction between the living entities and therefore the prosperity that comes from that, then what is anybody doing here? Right? That's what everybody's working for here. So now one has to look at it. Now the religious principle is there. How does it support that? Does that make sense? That's there. The Brahmins, they are the head, so they give direction, they give instruction, they give all these different things. The king is there. The king is making a mistake. Okay, but the Brahmins correcting him. How are they correcting him? So he can do his job? No, they remove him for something so small. If we notice Vena had to go to a great extent before the Brahmins decided the guy is more useless than he's good, right? He was a big dacoit. But since he was the biggest dacoit, he kept all the small dacoits in the kingdom in line. Therefore, the kingdom was peaceful. Right? There's a history that there was one pirate, I think, in the Caribbean. And they couldn't catch him for a long time. Finally, I think they caught him. Then, instead of getting rid of him, you know, hanging him like they did all the other ones, all the other pirates, they gave him a post and made him in charge of stopping all the pirates in the Caribbean. Because he was the biggest, baddest, nastiest, stinkiest, smelliest one. He went around and caught all of them. Right? And he didn't have to go out there and, you know, hijack ships to get his money. They were paying him. He had a good salary, good facility, everything, plus respect, position. Right? Not only that, he took a bath, right? So he was doing good. And this just makes some sense. So it worked. So Vena, there was some benefit coming. People were being protected. There were no small-time dacoits. Day-to-day life of the people was peaceful. So only when he got so proud from the support of the Brahmins that he now thought he was the Lord of the Brahmins, he'd become God. Then they thought, okay, we got a problem here. And then they removed him, but they replaced him. Right? Removing is easy. Replacing, that's the difficult part. Right? You get together, you can make a committee, throw someone out, but then can you replace them with someone better? If you can't, then how you can remove them? Because with authority comes responsibility. Right? The two go together. They don't not go together. Just like dark and light, you know, light, heavy, all of it. So authority and responsibility go together. They don't go together. This is not authority. Right? This is not responsibility. So Sringi was taking authority, but not taking the responsibility that, okay, we're the Brahmins, we're the head, here's this small-time king, he's making trouble, okay, so we'll remove this king, then the authority that he has, I will maintain that by my prowess, and then we will replace him. Right? Chanakya was insulted. He said, he was insulted by Maharaj Nanda. Then he said, okay, you know, I will remove you. But he didn't just go out, kill the king, and, you know, go back to his ashram. He went out, first made an emperor, not just a king, an emperor. And then once the emperor was ready, then he removed the king and put him in place. Does that make sense? That is authority with responsibility. That's how it works. Otherwise, then, it's inexperienced. Then we just have the managing of Sringi. We could write a book, right? A new self-help book on, you know, Sringi's management systems, right? You know, like that, you know? You just go in there, nuke the place, and then you walk off and say, Hari Bol, hey, wasn't that great? You know? So, but that's not how it works. That's not management. Management means responsibility is there. And you have to see what is the picture here. It means compared to the protection that's being given by Maharaj Cricket, the wrong that could have been considered that he did by insulting the Brahmin was negligible. Especially since the Brahmin wasn't even aware that he was insulted. Right? So there was no interaction. Right? If you know you're insulted, it's more painful than if you know somebody insulted you and you didn't know about it and it was also insignificant, you didn't care. Right? So therefore it's not balanced here. Like that. So Prabhupada's pointing out they're doing such great harm to all human society. Therefore the rules have a hierarchy. This is very important. Is every rule has a rule higher than it. right? Until you get up to the point of doing everything simply to please Krishna, right? And meaning it's pleasing according to his standard. It means doing it to please Krishna, that is the best of all standards, better than any material standard. The better of doing it to please Krishna is doing it in a way that Krishna is pleased. Does that make sense? I'm cooking to please Krishna. But I could also cook in a way that Krishna is pleased. Right? I'm cooking, okay, but maybe I'm not clean, my conscience is not good, or I'm not a great cook, or... Does that make sense? But now if I took the trouble to be clean, do things on time, follow the standards, that's pleasing to Krishna. Does that make sense? So then that's even higher. That's why the Brajavasis are, even in the spiritual, the transcendental, are considered higher than the other residents of the spiritual world. Because 100% it's only Krishna. Right? So that makes some sense. So every rule has something above it. Difficulty is we tend to see our sphere of activities and the rules connected with it. And therefore, those are the most important, because our world is the most important because it surrounds us. Being the center of our world, and the universe goes around our world, then whatever we think, our perspective is the perspective. Does that make sense? So the tendency is not to judge what is this hierarchy. Therefore, the need for training, the need for culture is there. So Sringi was powerful just by performing his austerities, and not, he was a good brahmachari. But he hadn't learned culture because he was inexperienced. Therefore, he only saw things through his vision. He didn't actually see, well, what is Krishna's vision? If the Brahmins represent Krishna, what is Krishna's vision? Right? To establish religious principles, okay, that's one of them. He took that. But Krishna's main reason for coming is to interact with the devotees. Here's one of your great devotees. He's not interacting with them as a devotee. Therefore, that's not Krishna. Right? Krishna doesn't personally kill people that he's not about to have an interaction with. Right? He's willing to interact with Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakshak, Ravana. He's willing to do that. But the other ones he doesn't personally do. So here he's representing Krishna, supposedly, but he's killing somebody that he has no interaction with. In fact, the king's not even there, doesn't know. Right? So Krishna uses his yoga maya, they don't know he's involved. But on people he doesn't interact with, he doesn't have a relationship with. Right? So his most important thing for coming is relationship. Not for establishing religious principles. Right? It's establishing relationships that prosper in the, atmosphere of religious principles. Does that make sense? Means the religious principles are very important because they create a very positive environment in which the devotional, interactions can happen. That's the value. Right? The Vedic standards create the best environment for devotional interaction. The Dati Patikrinati, Guhya Makikrikrichiti, Bhunte, Bojayate, etc. It's the best. You can do it on other levels, but it's the best. It gives the best results and everything. But the, But on its own, it's not important. Krishna doesn't come here just because living entities here are bad, so therefore let's correct them. And the ones that are good, okay, then they pat them on the back. Because the point is everybody in the material world is bad. Right? That you're here, unless, anyone here is, has descended by the Lord's order, then, we're just talking very generic here. One's in the material world because one has left Krishna. That's bad. So within bad, You have good and bad. Just like you have everybody in the jail is bad. But within it, you have ones that are a little bit easier to deal with and are willing to cooperate with the authorities of the jail, and those that aren't. Does that make sense? So a person that's pious in the material world is a good prisoner. Right? But a prisoner, a criminal nonetheless. And someone who doesn't cooperate, they're impious, they're bad. Does that make sense? That's the actual perspective. Right? Otherwise we tend to take the material world too seriously. That good and bad here is actually the point. No, good and bad here is, it's good because it's nice for devotional interaction, it's bad because it's not. Does that make sense? So Sringi's missed the point here. He hasn't understood how to balance the rules of the Vedic culture. Right? Here something's wrong, but it's not. As Prabhupada points out, is he's not even noticing that it's also very important for every grihastha is that guests that come, especially unannounced, they're taken care of. Right? One could say, well, he's not atithi, he was not a Brahmin. But even the Kshatriya would be taken care of before the grihastha ate himself. Right? The grihastha has to take care of atithis, are qualified Brahmin guests. After that, then other senior persons like that, Kshatriyas or other things like this. Then after that, then dependents. You must see that, you know, the children taken care of, they have any servants or elders or anything in the family like that. Then after that, then husband and wife can sit and eat, you know, like that. If they have some intimate friends, close friends, then they can sit together with them after everything else is done. So even the close friends would help take care of the other guests. And then they would sit together and enjoy that company. Right? So he's to be respected. So that part of the aspect of Sringi is missing. It's very common. See, this is, if you want to be expert at spin doctrine, you have to use this formula. You've done something wrong. The other person reacts to what you've done wrong. But how they react may not be so great. Right? They're not, because you've acted badly, they're acting in response to that, but badly. Now, this is the important part here. Get this thing. Now you have to react to their reacting badly and then make them look like they're wrong. Right? This is the method. Right? You have to completely ignore the original thing you did wrong that started the whole thing. You simply react to the other person's bad reaction. Right? Then you'll become good at spin doctoring. Otherwise, you'll never make it. Right? So, this is what he's doing. His father is wrong. He had a guest, he didn't take care. The king reacted badly. It was not a good reaction. But now he's ignoring his father what he did wrong, and now just taking, the king was wrong, and so now we will deal with that, he's wrong. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's... But unfortunately, spin doctrine is not the ideal social interaction. But whatever. Okay, so in summary then, idea is that the interaction between the devotees of the Lord and the innocent, then must be properly balanced according to what is actually favorable for Krishna. Seeing the whole picture. Right? There's something, by establishing something, if it's going to disturb something greater, then it's not important. By establishing something greater will be made nice, but something of lesser may not be ideal, then we get it done. Does this make sense? So it's being, this is actually the Brahminical culture is practical. But it's practical beyond what is just profit and loss by little green pieces of paper with you know, nice etched faces on them. It's a matter of what's going to be prosperous for the devotional development, the cultural development, the development of the religious principles, right, and other profits. Right? It has to be that big. Right? Then we will be start to look at things from more from Krishna's perspective rather than our own. Right? So that's important. Is there any questions on this or comments or something else? No. Yes. What should Sringi have done? Sringi should have, since he's young and inexperienced, he should have gone to his father and asked him, you know, what's going on. I'm confused, you're a Brahmin, he came, he's a king, he insulted you, this, that. Because we see later on his father would have said, no, you're supposed to take care of guests, this and that, he protects everybody, we're protected by him, therefore we're living peacefully. So the least we can do is offer him a place to sit. And, you know, he's spending so much money, energy, and time to protect them. And all they have to do is occasionally, if he happens to drop in, give him a seat and some water. Because that's all they have. Right? So he points out, then he would have been right. He would have learned. Because he's a brahmachari, he's supposed to learn. Like that. Grihasthas, they affect. You know? Unless they're a trained brahmachari. But otherwise, here he's in training. He's not mature enough, you know. He may know how to do his yagya, he may know how to do his puja, and, you know, things like that, and some little responsibilities around the ashram, but not big enough where he's dealing on the, basically the international level. Right? That's a little beyond his ability, right? You know, you should only move in what level you actually can function at. Yeah. Is that okay?
Just a clarification question. Religion and relationships are inextricably linked, but which came first?
Which came first? The relationship or the religious principles? Technically speaking, relationship is religious principles, and religious principles are relationship. But of the two, if we go back to the primordial source, relationship is original. Right? Yam kama krodha sahaja panayari bhiti vatsalya moha guru gaudam sevi mahavai. Right, depending upon the mood of the devotee, then they manifest that form, which then has a set of activities that naturally supports the full expression of that mood towards Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes, no? Mother Yashoda has parental affection for Krishna. So, therefore, the form of mother is manifest so that she can express fully that mood of affection. Right? Does that make sense? But that mood of affection, it has its particular forum or particular field of expression. Right? So the home is where she expresses it, right? Not out in the field. That's where the cowherd boys manifest. Right? Does that make sense? Mother Yashoda is at home, and she is telling everybody what to do and taking up all the space available, right? With her mood. The cowherd boys don't say anything, right? Because that's her place. Now, if the cowherd boys are out playing with Krishna out in the fields, and Mother Yashoda comes out there and starts to, you know, express her parental affection, the cowherd boys will think it's out of place. Because that's their place, not hers. Understand? Because
you know, the mother is a mother. She doesn't go out and eat frog and do all those things. You know what I'm saying? The kids do that. And then the mothers watch and appreciate and encourage them and all this kind of stuff. Right? Krishna and Balaram would grab the cows by the tail and, you know, go sliding across the cow. The mothers wouldn't go, hey, you know, I can do that too. You know, they wouldn't do that. They sit there and they say, hey, can you dance and clap and all these different things. They would interact in that way. So that form and the natural field that goes with it, that's the religious principles. Does that make sense? So that's the desire to serve Krishna is the origin of the culture. The culture is manifest to express that original mood. Right? But there it's natural. Mother Yashoda knows perfectly how to be a mother. Right? Shridham, Sudham, Subal know perfectly how to be friends. Right? Radharani and the other gopis know perfectly how to be girlfriends. So everybody else who wants to serve in that way learns from them. Does that make sense? So the spontaneity is still based on their direction, how to properly perform. Lalita is always still instructing Srimati Radharani in the mood of a left-wing gopi. Does that make sense? Because Radharani will be balanced. Right? The others are right. Lalita will be as far left as you can get. Radharani is in the middle. But which occasions to use right and which occasions to use left, that then is always training. Right? Even though she's perfect at it, but still, for a relationship, it's nice. Right? Krishna has older brother, Krishna has like that. So even though Radharani is the top, it's nice because Lalita is older, so she's senior. Okay. So now that is reflected into the material world. That comes to us then as the Vedic literatures and the religious principles. Does that make sense? So what the religious principles say, that's generally how in the spiritual world they would deal. But it would be centered around Krishna, not around profit and loss. Does that make sense? Here, religious principles are generally followed because they will give you gain, they will give you safety. Some follow them because they will give you freedom from the material energy. Very few follow them because they please Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that the Vedic culture is the culture. The Vedic culture is the, how you say, formalized rules of relationship that the residents of the spiritual world follow. Does that make sense? The principles of it. Details generally are the set big details are the same. But some of the rajasic tamasic details may be specifically just designed for the mentalities of the material world. But the principle is the same. Does that make sense? Yes. Selfishness. Okay. So the question is that Srini seemed to have acted out of his own selfish interest because it was his father. It wasn't necessarily just Abram was insulted. So what part of training deals with insults. I mean, with self-centeredness. Basically, service. Because to properly serve, then one has to be humble, tolerant, respectful towards others, and not expect anything for yourself. So in the Vedic culture, this is the emphasis of training. One has to learn that there are other people. Because otherwise, when one's small, it's natural everybody gives you full attention. Right? It means the baby is there, you get full attention. As they grow, then they start to fit in. So they get their attention, but, you know, also starts to be balanced. The older they get, the more it has to balance. Right? So the difficulty comes is that unless what is the balance is understood, the tendency is, as the child has gotten so much attention, then as they grow, they demand that attention. Much of the time, because of that audacity, they even get it, you know, to some degree or another. But it starts to break down all the, you know, social relationships. But because everybody's kind of like that, then nobody minds. Right? Everybody's got attitude, so it's okay. You know? So then, that's difficult. So that humility has to be there to understand I am part of the whole scene. I'm not the scene. Then one has to be tolerant, because if we're the center of everything, we don't need to be tolerant because everybody else is wrong. But if we're not the center of everything, it means we have to be tolerant. And that tolerance has to include what is the relationship, what is the position of the other person. Right? Here he's not, if he was a king, okay, one can be a little more strong, but he was the emperor. So killing an emperor is worse than killing a Brahmin. Right? Because the emperor protects all the Brahmins. Killing a king is less than killing a Brahmin. The killing of an emperor is more. Right? Then killing Brahmins that train and lead the emperor, that's greater than killing an emperor. Does that make sense? So one has to see the position of who you're dealing with, but generally we don't. It's come into my mind, I want it, if anybody else gets in the way, there's a problem. Rather than, it's come into my mind, but is it worth coming into my mind? Or it is worthwhile, but now, how does everybody else fit into this picture? They are individuals. They do think. They do have, choice, freedom, to choose or not. Does that make sense? Therefore, one has to be very careful in the dealings. So tolerance is important because you have to know who everybody else is. By tolerance, actually you conquer the universe. Someone who's not tolerant will lose everything. Right? Because there's two basic groups of evil. That coming from sense gratification, attachment, and that coming from anger. From sense gratification, you'll lose your piety, you'll lose this and that, but life will go on. But from anger, you can lose your life. So intolerance is actually a symptom of ignorance. So is lack of pride. I think I'm special. I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. Therefore, that ignorance gives rise to pride and lack of tolerance. Right? Then, because I think I'm special, I deserve to be respected. And because I'm special, I don't need to respect anybody else. Right? That's also a great weakness of someone untrained. I have a position, I don't need to respect anybody below me. No, but the thing is, I have the position, so everybody respects me for my position. That's how management gets done. It has to be. There's no question of not respecting. But at the same time, they are individuals who are playing their part in the bigger picture. They need to be respected also. To their position. You know? If not just recognizing just their existence and that they are doing something. That's a respect. You know? They're individuals, they have needs, they have this and that. We respect that. We take care. But according to their position and how they fit into the picture. Right? They do small service, then they need they get that much facility and that much attention. They do bigger service, they get more facility, more attention. It's just the way it goes. It's just the way things happen. Does that make sense? So, like that, so the training has to come in training people in humility, but humility by knowledge. We see that it's come by ignorance. So just establishing rules without knowing, that is also, it's good, but it's still in ignorance. Right? The parent tells the child, you have to do this. The child says, why? They don't know. And it's just because I said so. Okay, you said so, but what is the position of authority because you said I have to do it? I'm your parent. Okay, so how does being a parent give you the right to be the authority? You know, and then at that time, then, you know, you're going to see a nuclear flash. Because the parent does not know why they're authority. They're only attached to the child. So actually, it's frustration of attachment that they're getting angry, not because of authority. They have attachment, they want the relationship to flow in a certain way, it's not flowing in that way. Therefore, they're frustrated because they're not getting the taste they want, therefore they get angry. That's the science. That's why knowledge is the only way you're going to overcome. It means devotion is the best. But where devotion doesn't naturally flow, then the next best is intelligence, right? Because you have the soul, and the closest thing to the soul is the intelligence. So if your natural devotion flows, so you are naturally, I'm servant of Krishna, you're naturally humble and, you know, and tolerant and this and that because I'm just servant of Krishna, you know, and everything, and it's all Krishna's, and it's to please Krishna, and, you know, then it doesn't matter. The intelligence doesn't have to be so much used in an analytical way, but otherwise you have to know why, right? It's God made parents authority. Because they have the responsibility to take the child back to Godhead. Therefore, the child shouldn't be doing something that's going to go against the Krishna consciousness. Right? But seen in the picture of what does it take to raise a child, not just the moment. The moment has to be seen plus the bigger picture. You know what I'm saying? So that's why. They're responsible. They're taking care of everything. Everything goes on. The kid just thinks it just happens. No, there's work going on here. People are putting in energy. So therefore, you have a debt. And all you have to do is be respectful. That's all. So that's the reason. But that takes humility to be able to stand on that. The parent wants to, because I'm attached to my kid, that is the reason. No. It's because God has said you're in charge. Not because you feel you're in charge. That has nothing to do with it. The more you feel you're in charge, the more you'll have problems with your kids. And the more you know is, I am the servant of Krishna, and these are Krishna's servants. I am responsible to help them in Krishna consciousness. Krishna could do it himself. Not easy. Everybody else is going on nicely. But I have this particular need to interact on a family platform. Therefore, I am taking this responsibility on behalf of Krishna. That way then both things get done. I get the interaction I'm looking for at the same time as service to Krishna. Therefore my authority is coming from Krishna. Not because just I'm the parent. Right? That's not enough. It's enough if you're a dog or a cat. But it's not enough if you're a human. Right? So, therefore, training has to be to bring this out. Right? So this is any position. is like that. Parent is like that because they're an authority. Any managerial position, they're an authority. But they have that authority because it's been invested in them, not because they have it naturally. Right? They may have the propensity to be given that authority, but it's not because of them. It's Krishna's potency. Right? Spiritual, it's coming from Krishna. It's not just because I'm the guru or just because I'm this or that. No. It's because it's Krishna's potency. Therefore, one is the humble servant of that service. Does that make sense? Then one will find the relationships start to work. Otherwise, if it's just authority, where do we see in Krishna's pastimes, does he ever just establish his authority and that's it, because he said, Pandrika? Right? A few other demons like that. Even most of the demons he's really nice with, but the ones that are really out for lunch, that, you know, Pandrika calls them a frog, and the black snake Krishna has come to eat you. You know, so that's Virodhata. It's not a nice platform of interaction, so we should not base our authority on this principle of Virodhata simply because I said no. You can't do that. Nobody accepts that. Simple people may, but for how long? If you read history, simple people, you might even keep them for hundreds of years. But at some point, they get upset, there's a revolution, there's a problem. So if it's explained to them, they're happy. Does that make sense? So, the whole thing is service. The medium of this is service. These are the mentalities, but it's expressed through service. Kirtaniya Sadahari means service. So the service, one can always stay on that platform of service if you're humble, tolerant, respect others, and don't look for respect. So that's the safe platform. Therefore then, for the children then, so much of the household chores and menial service and other things are being done physically to keep them on that platform of service. Then their words, then they must be also properly trained how to speak, how to interact, so that their words are proper and have the proper mood of service. And then their intelligence must be trained so that they know what they're doing, so that they have the right attitude. They don't think that this kid thinks I'm the representative of God now. I replaced God. God's gone, so now I'll do it. That's not knowledge. And the mood must be, the values is that I do value being a servant and doing service to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Taking care of Krishna's paraphernalia. Whatever is connected to Krishna, then I value that. Does that make sense? So then body, mind, and words becomes engaged in service. Right? So that's a science. It takes a while to do that. First 5 years, they shouldn't make any trouble, but they're center of attention. But from 5 on, then they should learn that they're part of the scene, not the scene. Like that. And then when they're 16, they're adults. So then they have to now maturely look at, because now they're responsible. They do something wrong, the karma goes to them. It's no more going to the parents or in the same proportion. If they're, whoever they're under, something will go, a sixth will go. But if they're below, then everything goes to the other. Does that make sense? So that's the Vedic tradition, the service. That's why you see when devotees would join, the first thing they would do is wash pots and clean and all that. They develop the service mood, they develop the respect for others, the humility, all these different things. Then they become qualified to take up more responsible services. And the more qualified they are in the way of these good qualities, then the higher they can go. Like that. That's the thing. Parikrama Maharaj was the most qualified because he was the most humble. Yudhishthira was even more qualified. He was the most humble. Is that okay? Okay. So we'll end here. And then if there's any further questions, we'll continue. Rantaran Shiman Bhagavatam Ki, Bhagavati Ki, Samadita Bhaktivinda Ki, Janita Govur. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was one. Okay, bring that. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, isn't it? Very sweet. Hey, you know, you sent that Shaligram back?
I sent one.
But you know, I took the one. I said the other one he has to come and get.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, a couple of days then afterwards, then they said, okay, because I had him with me, and they said, okay, bring him in.
Right.
I brought him in, you know, I went, did his puja, and then after when I came back to my room, he was sitting back in my room. I said, what happened? He says, I took him out. He's so ferocious, you know, he just can't handle it. So he put him back in the bag and put him back in my room. So,
how long did he handle it?
Yeah, so he's sitting here. That was a whole line of yours and a few others that come, so they're all there with the, like that, Kashi Raj present, the courts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they all got their mouths open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll come by and take care of
it. Yeah, but it was funny. You just said.
I'm going to show you a video of the chum-chums. The video of these little birds which protect their protector.
Oh, okay.
Protect their best friends.
Okay.
I'll let her up.
That's it.
Yeah, well, come over.
Any other questions? Yes, Shantiji. Excuse my ignorance, but was yesterday your opening ceremony? Or is it today?
In the morning. It's the opening ceremony.
That was today. So when you came over yesterday, I thought you were just coming and wanting to talk and drop it in. Yeah, because I didn't think about it. I thought it was today. So, you know, sorry if I didn't understand. I was just thinking you just came by to chat and said, yeah, I'm busy now.
I'm just going to come over and check if you all were able to just go to school.
Yeah, because we didn't know. I didn't remember because I thought it was Sunday, because I think he's always had him on Sunday before, Sunday afternoon. So it's the first time.
I don't know. I also had some advice. It was an auspicious time to begin.
Yeah. So I didn't connect that you came from that. So I just told him, I'm busy now. They didn't understand that you were coming this year. Are you coming over for this program?
No, I wasn't an official representative.
Oh, okay.
They'd like me to come, but I'm not sure.
Good cosmos.
Good to see you again. Good to hear for a study.
Yeah, I'll stay till
California.
See how long we can keep that equipment. Sometimes it lasts, sometimes it won't.
If you can do it,
that's the idea.
That's right. You can 6 months stay here, and then the other 6 months you work out and you pick change and you collect it and all that. It's good because Prabhupada will spend 6 months in India and then 6 months the rest of the world.
Yeah.
It's a very nice goal. You can do that, you'll be very fortunate.
It's a good life.
Because here it doesn't take much to live.
Yeah.
So the short time for living, you can take care of yourself and then you can get a maximum time preaching in the West. And then while you're here studying, you know, that you work in other studies.
That's our hope.
Yeah, if you stick to it, that is a missional task to see how much you want to stay. You spent time here, so you should be able to.
Yes. For that, I am determined to.
So I have to do it. Now you have nice support. So be okay. Because as long as she likes to be here, they're here.
Winter time is pleasant for even the northern Europeans, they can handle winter.
Yeah. It's summer.
Summer's the tough one.
Summer, no, I'm saying it's summer on the beach, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Winter here.
Oh, the class is going to go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just question to ask.
Right.
What were we talking about? This one will just clarify that.
Someone has to do it, no matter what they do.
I was aesthetically pleasing to Krishna, because the yogis are doing it for getting the mystic powers and things like that. So austerity means that you're going to restrict in some way for some further, for some other benefits, for some higher benefit. So it's a natural, see, so you can look at it from its relationship aspect or from its business aspect. Relationship means by restriction, then it enhances relationship. With Krishna, with anybody, means it's just like this, husband and wife, if they, you know, are, how you say, don't cheat on each other, that's a restriction, right? But it enhances their relationship. You understand? The mother could be doing so many things, but she doesn't. She is, how you say, taking care of the family. So it enhances her relationship with the family. You understand? Okay, well that's about, I'm talking about the principle of austerity, what austerity is. Austerity means that you're going to restrict yourself on one account because it will get a gain on another account. So on a relationship, and that's natural, you make that sacrifice and make that endeavor for the other person, then that's the, how you say? That's the actual purpose of austerity. But austerity can be used for profit. You know what I'm saying? It can be used like that. Profit will come anywhere. When there's dharma, there will be artha. So intelligent persons don't perform dharma for artha, because artha comes anyway. Right? Like that. They perform it for devotion to Krishna. Does that make some sense? That's the point, because in other words, it enhances the relationship with Krishna. In other words, something in the material world that is important to you then may be given up because it will be, you'll be able to do some activity or something that is pleasing to Krishna. Right? How do we know it's pleasing to Krishna? Because it's given by authority. Right? You can't just do anything, you know, we're not going to stand on the head in the middle of the temple room until we turn blue and then say, you know, I'm being very austere for Krishna. No, it has to be something that's authorized according to the culture he appreciates. Right? Does that make sense? The other aspect of that's more understandable of austerity, the best austerity is the proper performance of one's prescribed duties. Like that. You have prescribed duties, you do that, that's the best austerity. Right? Brahman performs the duties of a Brahman, a kshatriya of that, a husband of that, a wife of that, a child of that. Everybody does their prescribed duties, that's the best austerity, because that will always ensure proper relationships and proper development of the whole, you know, whole environment. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on. So as a devotee, therefore, then the austerities are those which are the prescribed duties. Separate from that, it's not important. You know what I'm saying? So the acharyas have given us the Dhamma Dharmant, and they've given us the going to Mangalartik and the chanting the rounds and following the regular principles and, you know, taking only prasad and that. They've given that. So those are our austerities. Right? We don't have to do more than that. Just doing that is enough. That's the best. Right? It means the best thing you can do, a Brahmin, is to study and teach. That's the best austerity. There's nothing more austere that a Brahmin can do than to study and teach, that he will get the most benefit from.
He likes it,
but still he has to continue. Because you've studied for a while and the tendency is, I know, you won't keep studying. And then, you know, as the better you get, the less qualified you find students. So then the tendency is not to teach. Like, so you have to continue studying and teaching. Kshatriya, the best thing he can do is protect the people. It means if you study and teach, everything else goes with it. You have to respect the gurus, you have to be clean, you have to be sense-controlled, right? You have to perform sadhana and sacrifice, otherwise you cannot study and teach. So everything else will go if that is your focus. If the Kshatriya, his focus is protecting his citizens, then everything else, he has to pay taxes, he has to have his army, he has to, you know, be diplomatic, everything else will come if that's there. Does that make sense? The Vaishya, he has to make profit and he has to be given charity. It's like this, the Vaishya wants this much money. So therefore, since he has to be given charity, he has to make double the amount of money. So that means he gets what he needs, and everybody else gets. So that's what he likes. The Kshatriya likes to protect. He feels, I am the protector. I am the father. You know, like that. The Brahman is the teacher. Vaishya is economics, but they have to do it. Otherwise, they'll only do just how much they need, or they won't give in charity. They'll do the generate wealth, but not give it away. Or they'll give it away and be very religious and not make any. You know, and then the family suffers. Does that make sense? And the Vaishya and the Shudra, then they must, without resentment, serve the others. You know, so there's always the two that go together. You may serve, but if it's grudgingly, then it's a mode of ignorance. Right? So it should be willingly. He should understand, this is my position, this is what I can do. They see the bigger picture. I can't run a shop. I couldn't get together how to buy stock and this and that. I don't have the capital. I don't have the influence. But this shopkeeper does. So my place is assisting him in his economics. Then I'm happy because I do well, he takes care, and he's happy because then he's able to make more profit by having more assistance. Right? The Kshatriya is protecting the people, so the Shudra is assisting in that, either in his bureaucracy or in his, you know, in the armed forces or police. You know. Does that make sense? He's working in that, or assisting Brahmins, either whatever it is, in the educational or the medical, or whatever is the field. Because that's their art. The others know the science. He knows the art. So art is always subservient to the science. Right? That makes sense. So then, therefore, he should, with that understanding, not mean, without any resentment, you should serve. Right? So it's with knowledge. That's why he's an Arya, he's human, because he has knowledge. Does that make sense? So by doing that, that's the best austerity and everything will function. Now, in that then, its whole purpose is to understand I am serving a Krishna, and Krishna is the controller of the joy. I'm soul, I'm serving Krishna. He's the controller of Jaya, not me. So that's the actual purpose of it. And then the ultimate goal is to develop love for God. So I am performing my prescribed duties because this is how Krishna likes it, and I want to please him so I can develop my love for him and serve him. Does that make some sense?
I understand that this is all austerity, the funny things in the like, Gorbachev does that to Maharaj, he is called austerity personified. And this is all about the picture of austerity, of performing these exo-austerities like fasting or cold water and cold bath and all these, you know, other things. Mm-hmm. That's another picture of austerity.
Is that another picture of austerity? How is these other aspects connecting? See, there's two things are there. One is, I'll explain, one is that he is a Paramahamsa. So Paramahamsas don't relate to the material world. So for them, they're not being austere. They're just ignoring what's, like, is it austere to walk by a pile of garbage and not go over and pick through it? Right? But for a crow, that would be very austere. A crow has to go pick through the garbage. So is it a problem for you to not walk by a pile of garbage and not even look at it? Or you not go just feel, I just gotta go over and see what's inside? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, because we're crows and we can't understand, well, how is it that they're walking by the garbage? So austere. No, for them it's just being normal. They're performing the duties of someone on that platform. So for them, they're not being austere. The Goswami's not sitting there and going, you know, hey, you know, Sanatan, can you wake me up in an hour and a half exactly, you know, like this and that, you know, like that, and, you know, it's like, you know, not, I'll take the buttermilk away, I'll take it tomorrow, and, you know, it's, wow, it's just tough. No, it's just they don't even remember to sleep. They don't need to, they're living in a palace. The whole sky is their blanket. The whole world is their residence. They got more than anybody. You give up everything, the universe is yours. You claim anything, and how much you claim, that's all you get. Right? You understand? So, it's just because we think that the building is special and living under a tree is not. That's our viewpoint. Because we value it. But the tree and the building are both illusion. You know what I'm saying?
It's still the 6% of the tree that we made another tree not be from the platform.
Yeah, but it's not that they... How do you say? It's not that it's a conscious, necessarily, effort. It's their duty to do that. As Rinan says, living that lifestyle, that's what they do. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly my question. How far is it your duty or your renunciation to do certain things like these?
Yeah, so that's the other point that we were making, that we wanted to make, is you have to know what is the prescribed duties. Right? It's just like this. Why don't devotees wash their feet after they go to the bathroom nowadays? It's austere. They would have to go to the trouble of creating facility to do that. They're building their house, but they're not making any facility for that. Right? They could easily make it. I see grihasthas do it. You know, they don't like the Western building. They build it according to, they can live in it according to a Brahminical standard. They put in taps and stuff you can wash your feet. You know, they make a separation between, okay, I can throw all the dishes in one sink, or I can have two sinks, one for the deity stuff and the cooking, and one for all our dirty stuff. I've seen traditional Brahmin families, they will put their own dishes and wash them in the toilet. They will not wash them in the sink in the kitchen. Nobody washes their hands there after eating, washes their mouth, no dirty dishes. They go in the toilet. They wash them in the shower. They will not wash them in the sink. So, it's lack of austerity that, you know, oh, we're being pragmatic. Practical. But who built the buildings? Karmis built these buildings? You know what I'm saying? No, they're designed by devotees. You know what I'm saying? But the point is these are the things. You're supposed to get up in the morning. When you get up, the first thing you're supposed to do is chant the holy name. Next thing you're supposed to do is offer obeisance as a spiritual master. Next thing you're supposed to put your bed away. So if it's a roll-up on the floor, it's rolled up and put away. If it's, you know, a fixed thing, then it has to be made up. The bed has to be made when you get out of it. People don't do that because they're not austere. Right? Then you go to the toilet, then you're supposed to clean yourself properly, you're supposed to brush your teeth, you're supposed to clean your tongue. How many devotees clean the tongue? Right? They're living in Mayapur. In the West, they've never even heard of it. You're supposed to clean your tongue. You're supposed to rinse your mouth nice and gargle and all that. You know, it shouldn't be left with this toothpaste flavor in your mouth. Then you're supposed to take your bath. At the end of the bath, it's the last part of the bath, you're supposed to remember the Lord when you take the bath. Right? Then after that, you put on your tilak, you're supposed to remember the deities. When you put it, you got 12 deities. You remember. say the name? Do we take the trouble to put it and make it clear and do everything like that? Or we just swap it on because we have more important things? You know what I'm saying? We go to the temple, we knock on the door, we ring the bell, we offer our obeisances. You know what I'm saying? We see devotees and Hari Bal, Banchas, Prabhu, Banchas, and whack each other in the back and walk by. It used to be you offered obeisances and said, Banchas, Prabhu, Banchas, Jagat, people said, but no, lack of austerity. No one wants to take the time. So already so much austerity is there. So this is our austerity. The Goswamis can do that. That's not the problem for them. Right? But they're not doing it because it's pious, it's this, it's that. They don't have any family things, so therefore they don't have any need of stuff. Their bed is their tree, so they're supposed to fold it up. So you get up and go to the next tree. You know what I'm saying? So it just, everything folds up. So if we actually know what our duties are, then we see is that our life, if we live it just as it's given to us by you know, Prabhupada and Shastra and Rupa Goswami, then as it is, it's already so austere. Right? But all those have a nice thing to it. You become very clean, you remember the Lord, you're well dressed, you go to the temple, there's regular interaction with devotees. Does that make sense? You know, how many devotees sit down before prasad, say the whole prayer? Right? It used to be someone would say, everybody else would repeat. Nowadays, at best, they'll all just start chanting it together. Why? Because they don't want to take the extra time. Right? Nobody serves. Everybody just grubs at everything with all their hands and makes everything funky dirty. Because nobody wants to serve. So there's enough austerity already there. That's my point, is that we see, okay, I'm chanting japa, following the poor pregnant fools, going to Mangalarts and the temple program, you know, wearing this, you know, kind of, you know, gift wrap thing, and then, you know, like that, like, well, okay, but then what about all these other austerities? No, it's that our life is already full of that. Then one who can do that, then naturally increase it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like this. Someone who knows what is food and eats food every day, means real food, then for them to not eat salt, to not eat things cooked in ghee, and that is an austerity. Right? But for someone who hates salt and hates ghee and hates anything Indian, it's all got to be new age, natural food treat, then it's not an austerity for them to not eat it. They will get benefit from it for doing it, but they won't get the benefit of someone who actually knows what real food is and who has given that up. Does that make sense? That's the point. The person who actually knows what a wife and family is, knows how to interact with them, and does, and has a very good experience in it, they give that up. They get some serious benefit. The guy who wouldn't have a clue what is a woman, how to interact with them, and just drives himself and his wife and family nuts, and then he walks out, it's not a great benefit. Not from that. Maybe from going out and doing some preaching, that you'll get benefit from that, but his so-called renunciation. Where is the austerity? The Goswamis were the prime minister and the treasurer of the Nawab Hussain Shah, who was in charge of Bengal, which meant from Bengal, Assam, Orissa, you know, what's now Bangladesh, and all those other little funky little states up north, that was Bengal. The most populated part of India. Very powerful. And they ran it. It wasn't talk. They ran the place. So not to go as the prime minister, while the king was out having fun conquering other kingdoms, Sanatana Goswami managed the whole of East India. And Rupa Goswami managed the funds of that. That means all the taxes, all the dispersion of. That's big. They were from high grades, but you don't get better than Gorsairs like Brahmins. They're the top in India. They were Gorsairs like Brahmins. Right? And in that, they were barred by Shaka, which even amongst that, they were Right? You know, it's just, you don't get better than that.
So
they having that, them leaving that, has some meaning. But it's not that they, you know, ooh, this is going to be tough. No, it's just they don't see the need for it anymore. Something higher has been attained, so the lower is going up. So it's very natural. Raghunath Das didn't just immediately go to the position of, you know, taking a spoonful of buttermilk every other day. He started off going to Puri, and whatever money his father would send him, then he would, you know, live okay and use the money for feeding Vaishnavas. Right? Does that make sense? And he was renounced. But the father was sending it, so he engages in Krishna service. Then after that, then he starts and he gives that up, and he goes begging. Then after that, he collects that, because the begging is what is that? Rita Amrita? Rita Amrita? Mrita. Death. Begging is death. Because it's demeaning. It's insulting. It means that the six forms of the Brahman maintains himself, then that's one. Rita is the highest. Rita means you collect what no one else wants. That's amrita if you can do that. But you have to be careful that it's not laziness. Right? If it's just that's all you depend, but it's just like, oh, okay, I've got to depend, I've got to like this, then it may not be quite ideal. Because if you are endeavoring some parts and other parts you're not, then it's okay, but in that case then rita is considered better. Rita means collecting what nobody else wants. Like that. I mean, like Gorky Shorty's body, you know, sitting on the after they come and burn the bodies, there's a cloth they cover them with, and they take that off, and then they burn the body, and they just leave it there, so that, because it's dirty, so he just picks it up, rinses it out, and puts it on. You know, he needs a bowl, you know, like that, comes along, and then, you know, after the burning got, then there's, you know, a skull sitting there, and okay, hey, that'll work. You know, so then, you know, wash it out, and hari bom. You know, it's just, so then, the principle, that's rita, just what no one wants. Like that.
So austerity is very individual.
Austerity is very individual. It's very much up to the individual. The individual has to look at it. It means the basic is standard. You know, we have our rules, you know. We have our regular principles. We have our chanting, our japa, the temple program, our service. Like that. But then beyond that, then that's very much up to the individual. That is how it works for you. It means the point is the fasting is so that you can spend more time remembering Krishna and being absorbed in Krishna. It is also taking that you are doing that austerity that you like to eat, so therefore you don't eat. So you know what I'm saying? So, it's a particular element, but the point is that it's being done to please him. To purify the body and all that, then it'll be pleasing to him. If it's just for the taste of austerity, it's pious. You'll get result, but it's not really necessarily pleasing to him. It's pleasing indirectly because he wrote the literature, he gave the literatures that recommend it. But to actually do it because you want to, or you're so attached and this and that, so you have to learn to become more detached from the body, more detached from sense gratification, so it can absorb itself more in Krishna. That's pleasing to Krishna. So the idea is I'm not eating, and when I would be eating, I'd be doing other service. So if I'm not eating, I lay on my back all day and I feel sorry for myself that I'm so weak because I don't eat. Better to eat and do service. Service is more, direct service is more important than this indirect. Because the austerity, it should be, you can do it, and it doesn't affect. So if it affects, then you have to, then it's also individual, what that means. Okay, I can't fast all day, so therefore I'll just take some fruit or milk. Or that doesn't work, so therefore I'll take some, you know, simple cooked things, but nothing too elaborate. Or I'll take, you know, whatever I like, cooked things, but no grains. Does that make sense?
So we only take from austerity as long as it's not disturbing our regular
service. Yeah. It means, in other words, the austerity should add to our service. It shouldn't take away. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you do have the effect that, okay, if you're able to fast this time, then other fasts, they have to fast, will start to become easy. You know, so you have these, but they're worked in, you know. It means you can do it. Otherwise, you have a codices, and if a codices is difficult, you can't do it. You do have nirjal. That's the time that you can try, you know, pushing the limit. Then it will make the other codices easier. You know, the chaturmas is difficult, so then you just do karti. Right? Or that's difficult, then just be shapancha. You know, if that's difficult, just, you know, hey, just go light your lamps in the evening and, you know, offer your prayers. That's the most pleasing. I'm saying, so it's very individual that you see what it is. That, in other words, how much you don't need to be involved in the material world, don't be. That's the point. As simple as possible, that works. And then you have to have a plan that, okay, my value is to get to this level of simplicity. I, you know, that's, you know, let's say level A. Right now I'm at level Z. So I got 25 levels to get to there. So I have a plan. And then you move in that direction. You should be steady. So in other words, when it works, it's just like if you're doing pranayama. You're supposed to be able to breathe in 32, hold it 64, and breathe out 64, and then hold it out 32 or 64. That's a normal, that's a full pranayama. But if in any way there's any tension in doing that, it'll destroy the nerves. So then you just breathe in, and breathe in, you know, whatever, however many counts you can do. You know, 8 counts in, 16 out. Then immediately 8 in, 16 out. You just shift the size. Does that make sense? Like that. Then when that comes easy, then you try 8 in, holding for 8, 16 out. Right? And then 8 in, 16, holding 8. Then when that works, then you start increasing that. Then you start adding into it, holding when it's out. So like that, and slowly, slowly it'll get, you know, like you start to do an asana. You know, it's like your toes are, you know, a mile away from your fingertips. You don't push, you don't strain, you just relax. And then in some days, weeks, months, then the toes and the fingers will meet. So it's just got to be natural, just what comes. That's the whole system. It's yoga. So yoga means you don't, you push it to the point where you can handle it. You don't do less, but you don't do more. That's the point. I could fast, so I should.
It's tricky to the mind.
That's the point. It's tricky to the mind because you have to analyze your values. What is actually your values? What it is you actually can do? And then by doing that, it'll make it easier for you. So it means we have to become self-conscious. It is pleasing to Krishna if it's done for Krishna. Right? The girls are fasting on akadasis because it's great for their abdomen. You know, that's not necessarily, you know, great for Krishna.
But some mental consciousness, I mean, you're just conscious of doing this as an offering.
Yeah. You're conscious of this being offered. It means Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerity, whatever you give away, should be done for Him. You know, so you inquire, you know, what was there, what's nice, you know, what am I able to do with that? You know, because it's, the point is how much you can do, that's the perfect amount. There's no perfect amount. It's what you can do, that's perfect. The Goswamis are charters. What they can do, that's special. It's an example. It's not expected that, you know, everybody else is going to do that. That's not the point. The point is that they're trying to just minimize their interaction with material energy and maximize their interaction with Krishna and his devotees. That makes sense? So all of it comes down, the problem is with this approach, it makes it realistic, so it takes the mystique out of it, and it takes that kind of like passionate drive out of it. You know? But the main point is, whatever, even if the mystique is there and the passion is there, it doesn't matter as long as you're doing it for Krishna. Then it'll work. But with time, you should get to know who you are so you know actually what you can do for Krishna. Right? You know, sometimes the Krishna says, okay, they're the brahmachari for so long, and after 10 years and they get married, you know. But that's great. You know, it's expected that someone will go through, you're supposed to go through 20 years of brahmacharya and then get married. But you're just supposed to start at 5 instead of at 20. You know, so okay, you start at 20, so they made it to 30. Great, no problem. You know, so it's good that they went through that rather than, oh, and then if you're not going to be it forever, then it's useless. No, everything has its place. So you do it for how much it works. But it should be, you know what's going on, and you have a plan. The brahmachari who will get married in the future should know that he's going to get married. Right? He has a problem with women. So, but that's not enough to not get married. You know, it's that one does not need to interact with women. Then you don't need to get married. Does that make sense? Just because you're intelligent enough to understand the scripture that married life is trouble, that doesn't mean you shouldn't get married. When you realize married life is trouble and I don't need it because my life is perfectly fine now, that person doesn't need to get married. But the person who, only because it's trouble I'm not getting married, then that's renunciation of the mode of passion. Because eventually then their passion will triumph. Right? And then they spent 20 years thinking women are idiots. And now they have to live with them. So now who's the idiot? You know? That's called vantashi.
But temporarily feeling austerity, like I remember as a child, you know, sometimes I'm not going to eat sweet, you know, so you're not going to eat. Is that okay also? Like,
yeah, it means as long as... The point is that doing any austerity with the idea that there'll be some improvement in the devotional service, either in quantity or quality for Krishna, means I don't eat lunch, so therefore I can do more service for Krishna. Or, you know, by doing that, my senses become more controlled, my focus, so therefore that will be something. As long as it's connected to Krishna, then it's perfect. Mano mentions, it means the question is that about, if you talk about austerity, then it's lost. Means if you boast about anything, the benefit of it is lost. You give in charity and say what you did, or you do a vow and yeah, how great you're doing, anything like that. As soon as you boast about it, the benefit is lost. And I think, I'm not sure, the benefit goes to other living entities. I think it goes to the Rakshasas and all that. I think they get it. So they're happy. Kali Yuga is like a boon for them. Because they, without doing anything, then they get all these pious credits because everybody does it and wants to be recognized for it. That's why Brahminical life was easier before, because there were no strings attached to donations. Nowadays it's more difficult. Sorry.
Well, too much or too little, both you become proud. Too much, one becomes proud of being very Vedic and not doing enough, then one's very proud of one's, you know, how you say, previous samskar. Like that. So, that's why the balance is always the problem. Because Niyamagraha, both are from pride. You give it up because of pride. I don't understand it, it's useless. Well, this is not practical. That's pride. Or,
I'm doing this because it's the rule and I'm special because I'm doing it and all the people are not doing it, they're all write-offs. That's pride. But the point is that's what I said before, austerity is prescribed duty. It's my duty to do this. Right? The Kshatriya, he's supposed to protect the people, so he doesn't need to be glorified. But it's the duty of the other, you know, the courtiers and others to glorify. And others, when they come and meet him, he's a greater king to glorify. So he gets glorified, but he's not doing it for that. He's doing it because he's supposed to. So that's the point, is that one does one's service because that's what one's supposed to do. It's others' business to take care and give you attention. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one has to balance it. But because doing too much will make your heart harder, doesn't mean we don't do anything. You know, like that. Because otherwise we always see it's always, you know, the extreme. You know, it's either, oh, I did then there, done that, and now we're just being normal, which means we do nothing. But that's, you know, it also is motive ignorance. At least the other one, it may be pride, it's ignorance, but at least they're performing it, so there is some goodness to it. Well, the other one's not doing it at all, so it's double ignorance.
It's not a bit, it's all being
like,
you did that in the old days.
Yeah, they did it in the old days. You know, the Goswamis did it in the old days. You know? Yes, Sukadeva Goswami did it in the old days. You know, 30 years is old days. Kind of like, give us a break, you know, it's like, they're telling stories here a million years old, and they're relevant. Million-year-old story that's relevant 5,000 years ago, but you know something 30 years ago is not relevant now. You know, we're too modern, too contemporary. You know, we live only in the moment. You know, like that.
Tolerance.
Is there a time when we feel that the injustices that are being done to us, do we speak up? Or do something, yeah, or something more direct?
The Kshatriyas as well, like they see something in this issue.
But that's their duty. So the point is if it's somebody who's junior, then it is your business to take care of it in such a way that it will work for them. It's supposed to be austerity of speech, just to speak pleasingly. So it's difficult to say things that you feel are wrong in a pleasant way. That means you have to think, because otherwise it'll pop out of your mouth, it's just the emotion. So you have to think what it is that I will say that will benefit the other person. Like that, do they understand what it is and they have a clue how they can correct it? That's if they're junior. If they're not, then it's others, then you can ask them why they're doing it, why, what's going on, what's the reason. You know, because to us it'll seem like an injustice. To them maybe they'll think it was just normal, that's the way they've always done it. Or maybe they thought that's the way you liked it. Sometimes you'll find it's a very innocent reason. But if you go and you blow up, then they get a bad feeling and then they'll move like that, then you do have a problem. But sometimes people do things completely out of ignorance or habit, or in another place they do it like that. You know, I was in this temple and they did it like that, and so I was told, so I thought that's what here and coming up. So if one is humble, then it will also. So it's not that communication can't go on. Tolerance doesn't mean, means in a situation, tolerance is means situations you can't do anything about, you don't get disturbed by it. You know, there's a flood in Mayapur, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, if you're Agastya Muni, okay, suck up all the water and it's dry, great. If you're not, then you gotta live with it. And so instead of grudgingly live with it, okay, then how in this situation you can serve Krishna and go on with life. You know, it's hot outside, there's nothing you can do about it. So you just live with it. You know what I'm saying? Things that you can do something about, and that then you interact with according to the etiquette. Then it starts to work.
Sometimes they come from the evil nature.
Yeah. No, no, no. Because then that's not, it's not a matter of, if you can, if it's a matter of why bother, they won't understand anyway, or there's no need, or what's my position, then you go on. But the point is the tolerance means it actually has to become tolerance. It means you have to be able to adjust with it, that it does not bother you. So the key to that is forgiveness. The key to tolerance is forgiveness. If you don't forgive, you can't be tolerant. That's what I'm saying, is it's already worked in. You don't have to stand on the head and do all kinds of weird stuff. We just have to do the things that we're supposed to do. It's already austere. Because we're trying to be God. So it's austere to not be God for us. Right? For God to be God, that's normal. So it's, for him, it's not, you know, it's normal. He takes pleasure in service. But for us, it's an austerity. In the beginning, then with time, then we develop, because if we see it in connection, we see it as an austerity, it'll always remain one. It may become easier, it may not. But if we see it as service to Krishna, then devotional service starts to become easy. You know, because if you can perfect one service, then you can start to perfect any other service. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if you know one style of cooking perfectly, then you could learn any other style. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like that, or if you know, anything like that. So one could transfer that application. So if you connect everything to Krishna, then devotional service becomes nice. Then when it becomes nice, that's called spontaneous devotional service. So it should be that in the beginning we're doing it because it's a rule, but in the end, but in the middle we're doing it because we like doing it. You know? But at the end, we're doing it simply because it pleases Krishna. So the element of sense pleasing Krishna is the ultimate position. Therefore, from the beginning, even we're looking at it as an austerity and a practice, then we're still doing it to please Krishna. And then when it's easy and you like doing it, you still are doing that to please Krishna. And then ultimately those two drop away and it's only Krishna. Is that okay? Is it austerity that stops us? Depends how we look at it. If we're using austerity to become the Lord, then yes. But if we're using austerity to become the servant, then no. Right? So it just depends on the attitude. The mentality is actually the crux of everything. Because the mentality is your value system. So what you're actually trying to do is convert the mind to valuing only Krishna consciousness. Like that. So you use the intelligence and the body to get there. But what you're trying to do is transfer our values in the material world to values in Krishna. Right? That's the thing. So to that degree that we need to use intelligence and all that we use. So the austerity, if it's being done to please Krishna, it's just like you're thinking the austerity, okay, I cook, I serve prasad, I wash the pots, then I eat. Right? Because then I actually have a proper mood of serving. Then that's great. But if it's like, because you do that, I'm better than everybody else, look at all these other, you know, sloths or completely uncontrolled senses, and then what's the use? Better you just sit down and take prasad. You know, like that. So the austerity is for self-improvement. It should improve the mind. It shouldn't make it proud. That's why highly learned means character and knowledge. Probably that's why I think it's the sixth quality of Krishna, or the 11th quality of Krishna in connected devotion. Highly learned. That means a combination of being morally stout and being academically proficient. If those two are combined, it's called highly learned. Right? Highly learned. Means if you have knowledge, you're learned. And if you have character, you know what I mean, you're moral, you have character. When the knowledge and the character are combined, that's called highly learned. That's how you'll see Prabhupada specifically use that term. Sudama Vipra was highly learned. So that means he was qualified academically and he was very cultured. Right? So here we see Srini maybe, how you say, have the knowledge, but he doesn't have the culture. So he's not highly learned. He's learned, but he's uncultured. It doesn't seem to be. Because by his cursing Maharaj Prakrit, he ushers in Kali Yuga. And then everybody in the world, yeah, is without a protector. Like that. Okay, so thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Prabhupada Vrindaki, Jai Mahai Go.
Can I have a private
darshan,
sort of, rather than in front of everybody?
I guess when people clear out.
Well, I could ask you to join other people speak to first, then.
And I'm not sure that anybody else is going to speak. I just wanted to, you know, discuss your speaking last time, meaning joining the devotees, how we prepare to join the devotees.
Oh, okay.
Because I'll be staying till April.
Staying till April?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah, maybe a few days, because I think right now is the next few days are going to be quite busy.
Yeah, whenever you have to go, it's not possible. Because I was thinking to do it